Joe Allen get into it?
Joe Allen? No, I'm afraid not.
Did not? I'm sure he did.
He did have a good Euros, but not. Hang on. I think he might have done it. Hang on.
Hey, like,
I wrote 10 players down.
I'm sure.
I wanted a 10 answer quiz. Hang on. I think he did get it, actually.
Okay, I think he did.
I'm 99% sure he did.
He didn't get in your 10 players of first
position. No, for the purpose of the quiz, I decided to just make it 10, so it's an easier number.
Yeah, just forgetting how many people play on your team.
Yeah, well, it was a red card. Hang on. Let me just... Yes, Joel is in. I apologise for the confusion.
Yes, okay.
Leicester City have won the Premier League.
This is Bianca Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan Collingwood.
And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week, I've got Anthony Kendrick.
Good evening.
And Richard Hare-Hudson.
Good evening.
You good, lads?
Yeah, I'm
excellent.
Yeah, good. Just come off the back of a 72 show, so yeah, I'm good. Just quickly riding over to the other studio.
So tonight is our end of year show, so we're planning to do a massive game of some of the pitch and then do some of our memories of the year and stuff. But first, rather than do the news, I thought we'll go over what was our most popular shows of the year. So these are based on our SoundCloud stats. So the most popular V2 football podcast this year was the Euro 16 preview show.
Oh, that was involving me.
Yep. The most popular 72 show was the playoff preview show you did, Anthony, with Richard Foster.
Oh yeah, that was a really good show, that. He was a very knowledgeable guy, knew a lot about playoffs.
Yeah, was he Guardian? Was he a journalist for Guardian?
Yeah, he was Guardian, and he was writing a book about playoffs and the history of playoffs, so he knew everything you could possibly want to know about playoffs. Let's try and get him on again this year for another playoff show, because he's the playoff man.
And there was only four...
Can you quiz?
There was only four players between our top two interviews. There was either my interview with former Leeds midfielder Andy Cousins or Anthony's interview with West Ham ladies midfielder Tara Scott. And the winner was Anthony's interview with Tara Scott. Four players.
Four players, that's extremely close.
Not in total, it didn't just have four players.
Was it Nick playing it four times?
Right, so, outside the UK, where do you think our most players come from?
I think I know this.
I've got our top three.
I'd have a guess at the States.
Yes, States is second after the UK.
Nigeria was up there, I know, before. I saw that start a while ago.
That was only for a couple of months. We had lots of Nigerians, but over the year...
We're into Super Eagles.
third place was the Netherlands.
Alright.
And then fourth place was Ireland.
So. Oh, okay. Not Nigeria. I've got it. It's not Nigeria anymore.
For a couple of months it was Nigeria. We got a lot from Lagos, so the capital.
Yeah.
Yeah, Liam, yeah. So we'll get on for the first round. So we've each picked a topic, and we're going to ask three questions each, and the winner of each match will get 3 points, 1 point for a draw. First round's me versus Hero on the topic of the Euros.
Yeah, okay, so I've got three questions here on Euro 2016, obviously a fantastic tournament. I guess I don't really want to talk about the Euros yet because it might give away some answers, so we'll have a chat about it after. But my first question is probably the easiest one of the three to guess.
Okay.
So I want you to name any of the 11 players who made it into the Euro 16 team of the tournament. So it's 11 players in a 4-4-1 formation officially.
Okay.
So yeah, Richard, I'll let you play first.
I will go with one of my favourite players in the world, Griezmann.
Yep.
Did Joe Allen get into it?
Yep. So that's 1-1. Richard,
I will go with the other. I think there was only one other French player in there, Payet.
Yeah, Payet was in. 2-1. Chris?
Was Bale in there as well?
Bale. Bale was not in the team, unfortunately.
My favourite young player, Kimmich?
He was.
Was it Neuer?
No, I'm afraid not.
I don't think he was.
Neuer wasn't, no.
I think it was the Portuguese goalkeeper who, I don't know his first name, but his surname's, is it Patricio?
Yeah, Roy Patricio, yeah. Yeah, he's in, and that's 4 to Richard, that's it. Richard's on the first round. Do anyone want to guess any other names? Or
Pepe was in there, wasn't he?
Pepe was, yeah.
And I think
Sergio Ramos always gets in these things.
Ramos didn't make this one.
The Dortmund right back, Guerrero. Who they bought just before the Euros for quite a snip, and then his value probably tripled.
It was like a million money. He was the left back then, not right back, but yeah.
Was he? Right.
Yeah, but yeah, he was in the team.
I presume Ronaldo was in there.
Yeah, Ronaldo was. Ronaldo was, yeah. So, yeah, the full team was Roy Patricio doing goal, Boateng, Kimmich, Guerrero, Pepe at the back, Griezmann, Payet, Cruz, Aaron Ramsey, you might have been thinking of.
Aaron Ramsey. And here's two Welsh guys.
And John Allen in midfield with Ronaldo up front. So, it's 1-0 to Richard.
Interesting that Allen and Ramsey made it, but Bale didn't.
Yeah, I thought that. I think they were actually trying to make a balanced team for once, because it is quite a balanced side. These sort of teams are always ridiculously like four or five strikers in the team.
Yeah, I would agree with him on that that shout though, of Allen and Ramsey making it ahead of Bale. Bale obviously scored the free kicks and stuff, but both of the free kicks that he scored really should have been saved. They were more poor goalkeeping than brilliant free kicks.
Yeah.
Whilst I think Ramsey and Allen in their roles were bossing it.
I thought Aaron Ramsey had a fantastic tournament, for sure.
Yeah, and I've never really been a Ramsey fan, but he had a very good tournament.
I liked his blonde hair too.
Question two.
That will move on. we'll move on to, from blonde hair, Aaron Ramsey's blonde hair, to clean sheets. This next question is, I want you to name any goalkeeper Euro 2016 who kept at least one clean sheet.
Hennessy.
Yeah, he kept two clean sheets.
Neuer.
Neuer, yeah. Kept four. Back to you, Chris.
De Gea.
Yeah, he kept two.
Patricio, that I've already named.
Yeah, he joined up with Neuer on four.
Hugo Lloris.
Yeah, he kept three clean sheets.
I know we definitely drew versus, was it Slovenia, so Joe Hart?
Yeah, that was his only clean sheet.
Oh, Slovakia, wasn't it, not Slovenia.
Yeah.
what's his name? Randolph, the Irish keeper?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, good answer.
Buffon?
Yeah, he kept three.
Begovic?
No, I'm afraid not. He's not on the list.
I can only really think of one more, so if I don't get this, I'm scuppered as well. Courtois.
Yeah, he kept three, the Belgian keeper, he kept three clean sheets. So Richards won that 5-4, that's unlucky, Chris.
Yeah, I didn't have anything else in the locker, though.
I'll go through the list. So Neuer and Roy Patricio made four clean sheets, top of the list. Buffon, Courtois and Hugo Lloris were all named and got three. De Gea, Jan Sommer, the Switzerland keeper, Fabianski, Wayne Hennessy, all on two. And then on one clean sheet, a few names. Wojciech Szczesny.
Yeah.
Alma. Chesney.
Yeah, Szczesny. Alma, Berisha, Volkan, Babacan. Gabor Kiraly, I don't know if you remember him, way back at Charlton. He was the Hungary goalkeeper, kept a clean sheet.
No, not a clue on that.
All right, Michael McGovern, the Northern Irish keeper.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Right. Who made some headlines with his performance. Kozacic.
Yeah, he played brilliantly, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Kozacic as well was on there. Darren Randolph's been mentioned. Joe Hart's been mentioned. And finally, the Croatian and Monaco goalkeeper, Daniel Subasic, also kept a clean sheet. So, yeah, a few names on there, maybe. Well, I think all the big names were gone, really. There's a few, obviously, known names there. So that's 2-0 to Richard. We've got one final round.
Okay.
So, again, it's a naming players game.
Okay.
So, I want a bit more of an obscure one, this. you're not going to get 5 out of 5, I wouldn't have thought, or 4 out of 5. I want you to name any player that was fouled at least 10 times. courtesy of UEFA.com, I have every player who was fouled at least 10 times. There's some more names you probably understand and some surprises. I'm obviously not going to say more than that, but you'll be very surprised the player who was the most fouled. I'll say that. So we'll start with you, Chris.
Okay. Bale.
No, he's not on the list. He was knocked out a minimum of 10 times. Richard?
Ronaldo?
Yes, he suffered 14 fouls.
Rooney?
No, he's not there, I'm afraid.
Griezmann?
No, Griezmann's not on the list.
Payet?
Oh, that's my next one.
Payet is also not on the list.
Nani? To the final.
He did, and he was fouled 11 times.
Oh!
Poor Nani.
Ozil?
No, he's not there, I'm afraid.
That's Richard's one.
Are there any other guesses anyone wants to say?
Muller?
No, Muller's not on the list, I'm afraid.
He was pretty gash at the tournament, in fairness.
Yeah. Alright, I'll give the list. The most fouled player was Krakowiak, the PSG midfielder. He was
He's quality.
Yeah, but not someone you'd expect to be the most fouled player. He's a defensive midfielder. He was times.
Well, he, in fairness to him, he got around absolutely everywhere at that tournament. I remember I bought him in for my team at the time just because of how much he just got around that pitch. So yeah. I can understand he got fouled a fair bit.
Lewandowski was fouled 16 times. The right back, Serna, 15. Ronaldo, 14, as was mentioned. Aiden Hazard, 14. Juraj Kuka, me neither. No idea who that guy is. He was fouled 12 times. Giorgio Chiellini, the Italian defender, 12 times. Milik, 12 times. Joe Allen, 11. Nani, also 11. Aaron Ramsey, 11. Pepe, 11. Maybe he just needs to be fouled a lot of times to make the team of the tournament. and the ones with 10 fouls against them: Paul Pogba, Valon Bairami, Yevgeny Kolipanka, and Toni Kroos, again, need to be fouled to make the team. Kingsley Coman, the French winger, and Andres Iniesta of Spain, fouled 10 times as well. So, yeah, a bit more of a low scoring quiz that one, but Richard has won. So, well done, Richard.
So after the first round, Richard is top of the league with 9 points. I've got 0 points, and Anthony yet to play. 0 points. So, what are some of your favourite memories of the Euros?
I think Iceland, for me, obviously, was gutted at the time. They knocked England out, but yeah. Iceland's tournament was absolutely fantastic. You know, their group as well, all the excitement you had in their group with Portugal, the eventual winners, and Hungary and I can't remember the other team, but it was. I remember that group being the most entertaining in terms of who would qualify in that. So Iceland for me is the biggest memory, I think.
Yeah, the fans as well were just fantastic, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a stupid percentage of the, like 19% of the country when it came over? Was it 9%?
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. Yeah, 1 in 5 grown adults went along or something.
Yeah.
For me, it was the emergence of some of the younger players coming through.
Yeah.
Already mentioned Kimmich, but Renato Sanchez, I think, as the tournament went on, sort of lived up to his billing and why Bayern went and spent all that money for him. The Guerrero that Dortmund had bought. So there was a lot of young players that shone, whilst there was a lot of sort of respected star names that really had quite a bad tournament. Mm. Like Lewandowski, Muller, a lot of the big names just failed to turn up at the tournament this year.
I've gone for Joe Ledley's dad dance after Wales thrashed Russia 3-0. It was a great moment for him because I think he'd only broke his leg about 6 weeks before the tournament started. So it was amazing that he was there at all. Just how happy he looked.
Oh, that Wales goal as well.
Yeah.
Hal Robson-Carney's goal.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, some of our listeners and forum members have sent theirs, and Crimey said Wales beating Belgium was a great moment, and Luke de Gilbert said Wales reaching the semi-finals was his favourite moment.
I think the home nations in general, obviously Wales, you know, you've got to credit them, but Northern Ireland to get out of the group stages, you know, what a fantastic achievement for a club, for an international side like that. You know, we can say about Iceland and Northern Ireland, I think it's a similar story, really.
Right, so should we move on to the second round?
Just as usual, it was England that let everybody down.
Yeah. It's alright, it's all about World Cup 2018.
Alright, so we'll move on to the second round. It's me versus Anthony on the topic of women's football.
I know it's a topic that Anthony loves and wants us to plug more on the show. So I thought I'd give him that opportunity now to show his knowledge on the subject.
Okay, thank you. You're too kind.
Unless okay. It's about the career of Lily Ag or Tara Scott, I know nothing about women's football.
Okay, so the first one is, name the 10 nations that have managed to get to the semi-finals of the Women's World Cup since it started in 1991.
Okay.
And I'll let Chris go first.
United States.
Yes, they've won it 3 times, runner-up once, and 3 times third place. They're the most successful female team, really.
Okay. I will say Germany, who recently won it.
Yep, they're the second most successful. Won it 2 times, run up once, and 2 lots of fourth place.
Well, England did it the last one, didn't
they? Yeah, they've got 1 third place, which was the best at the last World Cup.
France?
Just sneak in. 1 fourth place.
Japan. I thought they did it at the last one.
Japan are good at women's football.
Yeah, they've won it once, and they've been runners up once. So it's 3-2 to Chris at the moment.
I think Canada?
Yes. Well, they were the joint lowest with France before. They've had 1 fourth place. They were 3 all.
Italy?
No, they've not never made it, unfortunately.
Now this is where I'm struggling a bit. Belgium?
No. So it still remains at 3 all.
Did we say Sweden?
I don't think we have.
No, I don't think so.
But they are in.
Yay.
Let's think.
Need this to draw this round.
I will guess Brazil.
And you've guessed correctly.
Yes.
Well done.
They've had 1 runners-up and 1 third place. In the list in total, it was USA, Germany, Norway. Norway won it once and had a runners-up and had 2 fourth place. Then Japan, then Sweden, then Brazil, then China, then England, then Canada, and then France.
Okay. Good question.
Okay. So it's a draw after from the first round. The next question is, which 10 women's teams comprise the WSL1, which is the Women's Super League, number one, the top flight of women's football in England for the 2017 season?
Okay.
So next
season. And Anthony can go first on this one.
I suppose Man City, the obvious one to say, so I'll go there.
Yeah, the champions.
Yeah, of course.
Arsenal.
Yeah, the what's regarded as the most successful women's team, though they have petered out a bit in the last few years. Won the FA Cup last year, though, didn't they? Back to you, Anthony.
Yeah, they don't always finish fourth, Arsenal, in women's football. Liverpool.
Yeah, they are in.
Reading, they're in.
Yes, they are.
Chelsea are up there.
Chelsea. Yes, they are.
The Doncaster Bells.
That was mine.
That's a good shout. Yes,
I remember. Oh.
They're not anymore.
I remember there was a big uproar because they got. I think they got replaced by Man City a couple of years ago.
I thought they were in it. Or they were.
No.
They may have
been, they're not next season.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, okay.
To take it to 4-2 for you there.
Birmingham City?
Yeah. You need this to stay in?
Yeah. Fulham?
No, unfortunately not. Do you want to have one last guess, Anthony? See if you can make it a clean sweep.
Let's say. I think Sunderland are. Sunderland.
They are, yes.
Yes.
The full list for next season is Arsenal, Birmingham, Bristol City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, Notts County, Reading, Sunderland, and Yeovil.
Yeovil?
Yeah.
Wasn't top of my list to guess, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, no, good.
So at the moment it's 1-0 to Anthony, but you did have a drawn game.
Yeah.
The last one between you both is, which 17 women's teams have won the Women's FA Cup?
Ooh, I know, and a really obscure one because it's local.
And Chris can go first on this one. If one of you's won, obviously, after five, then...
it'll be a draw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have draws. We have draws in this, aren't we?
Liceo Pacific, they're local teams. They're now Everton.
Yeah, I'm going with Everton.
Yeah, they were called Liceo Pacific when they won it.
Right.
I'll go with the obvious current holders, I believe, Arsenal.
Yeah, which I think I spoiled earlier.
That's why I was careful when we were talking about the Euros not to say anything at all.
Yeah,
no, I knew that anyway, don't worry, I've not.
Yeah, it was the obvious one.
Fulham were good a couple of years ago.
Yep, Fulham have won it.
I don't know for sure, but I know City are one of the top teams now, so I'll go City.
No, City have not won it.
Oh, dear.
Chelsea?
Yep.
They must have won it a few times. Someone Chris said in the previous round, Doncaster, they were one of the top sides, so they must have won it somewhere down the line, so I'll say that.
Yep. Still in the lead, though, Chris. It's 3-2 to you.
Bristol? Bristol Academy or something? Or the Bristol City now?
No. They're in the top flight of the football, but then they did not win the cup.
Okay.
So to take it back to 3-0.
Have Liverpool won it?
No, they haven't. So it remains 3-2. Oh. If you get this, Chris, you've won this round. And made it a draw in total. So no pressure.
Birmingham City?
You've drawn.
What?
You've done it.
I've done it.
One set draw overall.
Cool.
The full list is Arsenal, Southampton, Doncaster Bells, Everton, Croydon, Fulham, Millwall, Charlton Athletic, St Helens, QPR, Friends Fulham, Chelsea, Lowestoft, Foden's, Howbury Grange, Norwich and Birmingham City.
Right, so at the end of that round, it's... so Richard's still in the lead of 9 points and then me and Anthony have both got 4 points each. So I've definitely... I'm out. Right, so for this bit, we thought we'd do, what's your favourite Premier League moment of the year?
Can I pick any of Van Gaal's interviews at Old Trafford at United?
That's the way he says ferocity.
I think it'd have to be the sex one.
Oh, what, the horny players? Yeah, because Mata was sat next to him, weren't he? And he asked if he'd heard that word in training before, and he said, yeah, all the time. I think on a serious, his dive against Arsenal when the Arsenal player dived and Van Gaal took a tumble when he was talking to the official was quite funny.
Oh, the memes coming out of that was quite funny.
But yeah, I think being a bit more neutral than that, I think the obvious thing to say is Leicester winning the league. That was obviously incredible. And Gary Lineker doing match today in his short.
I think that was my one, Lineker wimping out of doing it in his underpants. They were short, down to his knees.
So. Yeah. Van Gaal was when he went on about the sex masochism.
Oh, grabbing the lady by the hair, weren't it?
Yeah. And then they pull it behind, only in sex masochism.
Then it is allowed.
Yeah, so our listeners and forum members also, Crimey said, it's got to be Leicester winning the league, and then Nick from our show said Leicester winning the Premiership should win by absolute country mile, and then some. Nothing like that will happen again in our lifetimes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Then Luke de Gilbert sent in a personal one. It was a meeting, a couple of Man City players. He met Fernando, Sterling, Iniesta, Sabaleta, De Bruyne, and Stones. So
I think Payet's free kick, I can't remember who it was against, Well, there's a lot to pick from, I suppose.
There's
just one goal that stands out in my mind, one of his free kicks.
Right, so we're going to go for the final round. To remind you of the scores, Richard's got 9 and Anthony's got 4, so...
So I need 2 wins in a draw.
Need a couple of wins.
Alright, well, be nice to me.
Alright, so there isn't as many answers for mine, so you're only going to get 3 goes each.
Alright.
Alright, so the first question is... So my questions are on promotion and relegation. So the first question is...
You've won that. It's going to be about League One, isn't it? And I'm scuppered.
Yeah. So name clubs that have never been relegated from the Premier League. Anthony?
So how many clubs are there, correct, just out of interest?
8.
It's 8 clubs. Alright.
I know the 3 that have been promoted to the Premier League and never relegated, because it was on a quiz on the radio yesterday.
Man United?
Yep.
Trying to think what the 3 answers were now. Swansea.
Yes.
Stoke.
Yeah, they were one of the 3 in the quiz that was on the radio.
Yeah, they are.
And the other one was Bournemouth.
Yeah. Alright, so last go, Anthony.
Arsenal.
Arsenal, yep.
Liverpool.
Yeah, so that's a draw. Alright, so second question. Name current Football League clubs who have competed in the top flight but never played in the Premier League.
Accrington Stanley?
No, there was a team called Accrington, but they're not Accrington Stanley.
Who are they?
Hang on. Anyone?
Sorry?
Did you say Football League clubs, or did you just say any club who used to play in the top flight?
Current Football League clubs.
Okay, I'm pretty sure Coventry.
They did play in the Premier League.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was thinking of a stat that they'd never been... I thought they'd never...
They'll found the members of the Premier League. Richard?
Luton.
Yes. I think they were relegated the year before the Premier League.
Port Vale?
No.
Port Vale have been that aisle.
I didn't watch football before the Premier League.
Alright, so it's a win, Richard.
I will go with Notts County?
Yes.
Can I guess Leighton Orient?
Leighton Orient as well. So you could have had, so congratulations Richard, you could have had Brentford, Brighton, Bristol City, Bury, Carlisle, Grimsby, Huddersfield, Leighton Orient, Luton, Millwall, Northampton, Notts County, Watford, or Preston.
Watford?
Yeah, Watford were huge in the early 80s, so they got to the FA Cup final in 83.
But aren't they in the Premier League?
Oxford, I meant, sorry.
Oh, right, I was going to say...
Did I say Watford? I meant Oxford.
Oxford. Well, that Oxford had Ron Atkinson in charge before he joined United.
Yeah. Okay, so the final one. I think you've won anyway, Richard, but we'll go for the last one because I've written it. So, name clubs who have experienced the most promotions and relegations in their history. So, combined, who've gone up and down the most.
Okay.
So, Anthony, I've got the top 10 here. So, sorry.
Okay. I don't like this. go Derby, why not? Derby County.
Not on my list.
I'll go for the one that I've just said, just because I know they have been in the top flight. And
it's not just for the top flight, it's anywhere they've been promoted.
Yeah, I think they've gone up and down a few leagues quite often. Notts County?
Yes, the 30 times they've been promoted and relegated.
Millwall?
That's a good show.
No.
Very often hover between them, don't they, the leagues?
So for the win.
Sheffield Wednesday?
Yes, 24 times they've been promoted and relegated. So, congratulations, Richard. You are our runaway winner.
Congratulations.
So the final league table was...
A massacre.
That was not a nice question.
I liked that question.
So the winner...
You just basically go for old, proper old school teams.
So when in the league with 16 points was Richard, I was bottom with 4, and then Anthony had 5.
I just thought the list of the correct answers was on the most promotions and relegations.
Yeah. So we had Birmingham City have had 29, Bristol City 23, Bolton 26, Cardiff 25, Grimsby 30, Doncaster 27, Leicester 26, Lincoln 23, Notts County 30, Port Vale 24, Preston North End 24, and Sheffield Wednesday 24. They all were top 10.
So Notts County was top?
No, Notts County and Grimsby both had 30.
Fair enough.
Alright, so last week we discussed which player in the Premier League is most integral to their clubs, and we asked our Twitter followers who made the best choice. So in joint third place was Anthony and Shane. Anthony picked Lukaku, but he was a bit miffed about it.
I was, because after we discussed it, I picked out a stat from the BBC Sport website, which was related to the percentage of goals which
biggest one-man teams or something.
And Defoe was top with about 70-odd% and Lukaku second with 60-something%.
Yeah.
Obviously my pick did very poorly with our followers. I was a bit upset, actually.
Shane picked Romeo, who also got it. So you both got 8%. Hero was second with Sanchez, got 33%. And I won 51% with Jermaine Defoe.
So I think Defoe's a worthy winner, for sure. I think Sanchez saw it as well. Sanchez is a... To be fair, he does take Arsenal to the next level, but yeah, I'm still disappointed that Lukaku didn't do as well as he did.
I think all four do add sort of a different level to the teams at the end.
Yeah. Alright, so to finish the show this week, I'm going to ask who from the world of football deserved to get coal from Santa this year?
Well, Shane's not here, so I feel like I've got to answer on his behalf and say Sepp Blatter. He's been in the news recently, I saw, because he was complaining because the new FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, has been ignoring his calls. So I'm sure he's very sad. I presume he's going to get some call from Santa this year, unfortunately.
Richard, who do you vote?
I've got two. I've got one that's amusing, one that isn't. The England football team for their performance in the Euros is the more of the amusing one, and the not-so-amusing one, which is a great thing to celebrate, to go on about just before we wrap up the Christmas show, is Barry Bennell.
Oh, bloody hell.
Lovely.
We've not mentioned it at all in any of the shows.
Yeah, the 2 weeks are about,
Yeah, we should have really mentioned it. I nearly said touched upon, but that's probably the wrong term.
I think I mentioned it in a previous show, and beyond the fact that it's disgusting what's going on, there's not really a lot more you can say.
The only good thing to come from this is obviously that it's coming to light. Hopefully it'll help the players that were involved, and hopefully we'll stop it in the future. And I know that in football training now, involving kids, there's a lot of more work done regarding safeguarding. I've been on a safeguarding course myself, and there's so much emphasis on always being sort of two coaches about, not just to protect the kids, but to protect the coaches themselves from perhaps false allegations, which can occur. So hopefully good comes of this, but Barry Bennell deserves a lot more than just a lump of coal this Christmas.
I went in the Eden Jacker.
Well, I'm just blown up on your brigade.
Because he got sent off for bizarrely pulling down his opponent's shorts in a World Cup qualifier against Greece. That was just the most bizarre turn at sending off of the year, so I thought he deserved the coal for that.
I can't remember if it was this year or last year. I think it was last year. I think it might have been 2015. Miroslav Klose actually doesn't deserve a lump of coal. He deserves a lump of gold. I don't know if anyone saw it, but he scored a goal. The ball came in from a cross. He scored a goal with his hand. The goal was given, and then he went up to the referee and said, "It hit my hand," and admitted that he did it.
Yeah.
I
think it might have been last year, actually. you know, I think about it. But there you go, nice story to finish on. That horror story of being a player.
All right, so I'll put our votes up in a poll Friday lunchtime, so you can pick who you think made the best choice. All right, so check out our website, v2football.com. We've got Q&As with former Rangers striker Marco Negri and former Sunderland and Leeds striker Michael Bridges. And that's where you can check out other shows. So what happened on the 72 show this week?
Me and Nick were joined by Ashley Carter, who's the guy who's making a documentary about the former Derby County captain, Sean Barker, about his injury. And it looks really interesting what he's doing. So he joined us. We talked about Derby. They beat Nottingham Forest at the weekend 3-0. So, yeah, there was that. Derby in general, Steve McLaren's come back to the club.
Yeah.
And obviously Nigel Pearson, you know, all the hope. And that's gone. But away from Derby, there was plenty to talk about. It was a good week for MK Dons, which I'm sure everyone's delighted to hear. They beat Wimbledon also in the third round of the FA Cup. Starbridge beat Northampton as well. Terrific result for them. And they're in the third round, the lowest ranked side still in the FA Cup. Plenty of other Football League stories.
Still did get the bed, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned Macclesfield Town. They obviously lost in the replay, but for going to any more depth, you may as well just watch the show because it'll be an hour long. Listen to the show, I mean.
Alright, yeah, so anyway. Also check out Ash and Al's Premier League podcast Christmas special, which will be released on Monday.
To that.
Alright, so follow us on Twitter at V2Football and like us on Facebook. Good night. Have a lovely Christmas.
Good night. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.